Hi, this is Blair.
And this is Eli, and you're listening to a Thanksgiving edition of Pathetic. And you know what? We're thankful to you for listening.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year. To join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
This year. So that was really stupid and Eli's idea. I thought it was corny.
I mean, I do want to thank you for giving me the best. However, that Dido song goes.
Oh God, that's gonna be the song that I play between all of the segments now.
Oh, nice, cool, great.
Actually,
idea.
No, I'm gonna play Stan, the Eminem song that samples it, because.
You should play Stand by REM.
Is that? I don't know any REM songs besides Night Swimming.
No, Stand is like the stand in the place. I mean, it has a D at the end, so Stan reminded me of it because they sound similar, because Stan has one more letter than Stan.
You didn't stand by me. Anyway, it's going to be Thanksgiving soon.
Yeah, it is in just a matter of days, a matter of hours, really. Now that it's down to 3 days or so, I think we can count in hours.
In that sense, everything is a matter of hours away, just like a lot of hours.
Well, I don't know. It's an interesting question when you change matter of days to matter of hours. Like, at what point does a matter of days become a matter of hours? Is it over a day? Is it under a day? Thanksgiving.
Right. So we were trying to talk about, like, oh, we should do something Thanksgiving related. Talk about, you know, the hit songs or movies about Thanksgiving. And then we realized that, like, there really are not so many.
Yeah, we were thinking of, you know, movies set around Thanksgiving, but there's not really any like Thanksgiving movies. There's no traditional Thanksgiving movie like, oh, it's Thanksgiving, gotta watch good old,
yeah,
whatever, you know. There's no, but Christmas, there's a million Christmas,
there's a million movies. Christmas
a million
movies
and a half.
A million and a half. And like, even I was like, oh well, okay, Miracle on 34th Street totally has the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which now I think is called the something else Thanksgiving's Day Parade, Thanksgiving's Day. Anyway, but that's a movie about Christmas. It only uses Thanksgiving as a gateway to Christmas, which really isn't fair.
Yeah, because the Thanksgiving Day Parade is when Santa is revealed to the world. So in the end, the Thanksgiving Day Parade is even just a tease, if you will.
It's really not fair. I feel like Advent should just like hold off until December, because Thanksgiving is a pretty righteous holiday in its own right. And it's pretty damn Christian, too. So.
Yeah. Like Thanksgiving, some movies sort of treat it as the foreplay to Christmas, and it's not. It's a whole new ballgame itself.
There's nothing sexy about a Puritan holiday, okay?
No, I mean, it depends.
On that note, I think that my favorite Thanksgiving movie is probably going to be what the hell is that movie called with John Proctor and Daniel Day-Lewis?
Oh, The Crucible.
Thanks. I could only remember the like Crucible Light junior middle grade novel that we had to read in seventh grade called Beyond the Burning Time. And I was like, it's not called Beyond the Burning Time, and it's by Arthur Miller, but it's not Death of a Salesman. And I could only remember that Daniel Day-Lewis was in it, because as we've discussed before, Daniel Day-Lewis is part of all American history up to and including the Civil War.
I think we've discussed The Crucible on here before.
Of course.
In brief.
But that movie is really only about Puritans. It has nothing, like, they don't give thanks. They just sort of burn people.
Well, they tried to take John Proctor's name, but they can't take his name.
Right, they can't.
That's all I know.
So, the only other movie I can think of that takes place on or around Thanksgiving is the classic Katie Holmes vehicle, Pieces of April, which I think she did post Dawson's Creek, but pre Couch Jumping, and she was trying to establish some indie movie cred, and it's like she's living in Brooklyn or something, and she's so edgy because she has like weird hair, and she's trying to cook Thanksgiving for her family, and they all show up, and Allison Pill plays her little sister, and she is in fact a pill, and like her mom has breast cancer or something, and I think her like younger brother smokes a joint or something, and that's like the whole movie.
I've never seen Pieces of April. It's always recommended to me on Netflix for some reason.
It's not that great. Like, I don't know why I rented it. I think because I thought Katie Holmes was cool. She's not that cool.
Maybe now she can re-establish her
Take
cool,
it back.
You know?
She should remake it with Suri.
Suri.
Suri. Anyway, so that led to my theory that all Thanksgiving-related media has to be about dysfunctional families, because in this age of metaculture, what better way to comment on the, you know, decay of the Norman Rockwell family portrait than to present Katie Holmes as a deadbeat daughter attempting to cook Thanksgiving dinner in her Brooklyn apartment.
But when it comes down to it, like, we really couldn't think of many other Thanksgiving movies.
No.
Like, I can think of dysfunctional family Christmas movies.
Yeah, like that one with James Gandolfini and Ben Affleck.
Was that Christmas with the Cranks, or was that another one?
I think that was Jamie Lee Curtis, and that wasn't, no, Matthew Broderick was in Deck the Halls.
Oh, yeah.
But look what we're doing. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're jumping to Christmas, and it's not fair.
And we don't want to do that. But so we were going, all right, well, we'll look up a list of Thanksgiving movies, because surely there has to be some.
Right.
So the list on Wikipedia, which is, of course, probably exhaustive.
Yes.
The list is list of films set around Thanksgiving. They don't even have a list of Thanksgiving movies, just movies set around the time of Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
So Thanksgiving doesn't even have to be a plot, like, more than just a brief plot point.
Okay.
And it separates them by genres. So action movies set around Thanksgiving, it lists one, Spider-Man, because they eat Thanksgiving dinner at one point in the movie.
Okay, now I just have to say, this is ridiculous. Spider-Man is a Thanksgiving movie the way Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Like, I don't think that, like, temporal synchronance makes for a holiday theme. Like, you need to give it a little bit more. If there were, say, a very Spider-Man Thanksgiving, I'd be pretty into it.
So then it lists, like, Alice's Restaurant, which doesn't really count because it's a movie based on a song.
It doesn't count. Also, Alice's Restaurant is so annoying. It's so long.
Mm-hmm. The next one they list is Bean, the movie with Mr. Bean, but the American version.
Okay, point about
That's
this.
That's not about Thanksgiving. It's about Whistler's mother. It should be on the list of films about the painting Whistler's mother.
It should be on list of films involving people wearing bonnets, and underneath that should be The Crucible.
And then,
no, but seriously, that movie can't count because it's British. It's, like, inherently not Thanksgiving. Like, we tried to get away from Mr. Bean and establish our own Mr. Bean-free brand of comedy in the United States.
No. But Mr. Bean is the Bean. The movie just Bean is a British-American movie. That was, like, his, you know, big break into American culture.
I don't care. He should not be allowed to break back into American culture, because that's defeating the purpose of Thanksgiving in the first place. I realize I'm kind of conflating, like, the Puritan colonies of New England with the Revolutionary War, but I don't care because they cannot take my name.
I don't know. I think it was a great little movie.
Listen, Eli, whose ancestors stepped on Plymouth Rock?
Well, your ancestors founded this country, so.
Yeah, no, but literally, actually, like, Governor William Bradford is my direct forefather somehow, and he did some stuff. So, I'm just saying, as the token daughter of the American Revolution, and also by virtue of that Thanksgiving, I want to disavow Mr. Bean completely.
So then the next one listed is For Your Consideration, the dog show movie.
Wait, that's not the dog show movie. That's Best in Show.
Oh, no. Oh, that's Best in Show. I was getting the mockumentaries confused.
And For Your Consideration is about a movie called Home for Purim. So that is a movie about Purim. Fail.
Yeah. So it's like, and then Jack and Jill, the Adam Sandler vehicle.
That has to be stricken from the record for not counting as cinema.
And then the straight-to-DVD movie, or straight-to-TV movie, National Lampoon's Thanksgiving Family Reunion.
I'm going to say that's probably just spinning off of the Vacation franchise, so it's not really...
It is, but it has none of the original people because it's a made-for-TV movie without any of them.
Right, they never did, though. Anyway, the point is, it doesn't count as its own artistic achievement that's Thanksgiving-based, so I'm striking that one, too.
You know who the star of National Lampoon's Thanksgiving Family Reunion is?
Is it Anthony Michael Hall?
No.
Damn.
It's Bryan Cranston.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, he is the star of National Lampoon's Thanksgiving Family Reunion,
wow.
A 2003 TV movie about a Thanksgiving family reunion of the Snyders, starring Bryan Cranston and Judge Reinhold.
Okay, that's great. I'm putting this one back in because Judge Reinhold is my favorite actor named Judge.
I mean, it's funny because like the last name Reinhold sounds like a judge's name. Like it seems like, oh, I'm going to appear before Judge Reinhold today. That guy's a real stickler for the law.
Well, they all are because they're judges. But yeah, it's like that character on A Prairie Home Companion that Garrison Keillor invented whose first name was Senator. Like, his parents just thought the name Senator sounded good.
I'm just thinking of someone describing a judge as a real stickler for the law. Like,
that's like a bullet point on the resume of being a judge. Like, well, are you a stickler for the law? I'd say so. All right, you're hired. Here are your robes.
Do judges have interviews? Who interviews a judge? They get a lot.
I don't know. I think you're a...
You'll notice that I've been stickling for the law for a long time. I think in my cover letter it said something about stickling the law.
is to stickle a transitive verb?
Like... I hope so. I'm going to start using it like... Because there's sticklers, so there has to be someone who stickles.
Right, if there's this agent form of this putative verb, it probably exists somewhere. It's like from the German sticklen.
It's like, oh man, that guy really stickled me. That teacher, he really stickled me. He likes his papers turned in on time. Stickles.
But if you use it in reference to yourself, then it starts to sound dirty.
Oh, I stickle. I stickle from time to time.
All right.
I stickled her.
All right, that's enough. Stickler? I hardly even know her.
She has a stickling fetish.
All right, anyway, I was just going to ask, wasn't Bryan Cranston at that point still filming Malcolm in the Middle?
Probably in 2003 for sure, yeah.
So it's like, how many cantankerous dads can one person play at one time? Like, don't you feel like his character in National Lampoon's Thanksgiving Vacation or whatever it was is just effectively going to be the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, but like, well, recycled?
I'm looking at a picture and he looks like a hippie with long hair who's like crazy.
That doesn't sound like the makings of a Thanksgiving movie at all. Like, if I were going to make a Thanksgiving movie starring Bryan Cranston as the patriarch of some family going on vacation, he would basically just be the dad from Malcolm in the Middle. And it's really bothering me that I can't remember the name of that dad.
I think Judge Reinhold is playing that part. But the Honorable Judge Reinhold.
Noted law stickler.
That's weird. Let's see. What other movies are listed? Grumpy Old Men?
Sure. No, I don't think so. I feel
funny
like...
Funny People? Funny People's not a Thanksgiving movie.
Funny... Can I just say, I fucking hated Funny People. It was so long. Like, all Judd Apatow movies are too long. And that one was too long from, like, minute 7. I was like, I'm over it.
I do have to give This Is 40's first trailer credit.
Yeah?
Because it was the first trailer to ironically play Fun's We Are Young.
That's good. I'm glad that's happening, because I hated Fun's We Are Young from the minute I first heard it.
Then it seems like a lot of these Thanksgiving movies are like low-budget things, like Thanksgiving or Thanks... Wait, here's something interesting about this list.
Yes.
Under horror movies, it lists Thanksgiving as a sit-around Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving 3, but not Thanksgiving 2.
Wait a minute. Okay. How, if you're going to have a Thanksgiving-themed franchise of slasher movies, you can't just skip to 3.
Well, no, there must be a Thanksgiving 2, but maybe it wasn't set around Thanksgiving. Maybe it just continued the characters from the original Thanksgiving, but it wasn't set around Thanksgiving. Like, maybe it's the summer after
I Know What You Did Last Thanksgiving. Maybe it takes place on Canadian Thanksgiving, so it can't technically be construed as an American Thanksgiving-style movie.
I mean, apparently Thanksgiving isn't really updated that well on Wikipedia, because on the page for Thanksgiving it says, the sequel to Thanksgiving has recently been announced, but apparently it came out at least 2 years ago.
One would assume.
Yeah. Hey, it was made on a budget of $3,500.
That is
with the tagline, gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
Oh, okay. Question. Does that mean that Gigli counts as a Thanksgiving movie?
I was just going to say, I think Gigli counts.
That movie ruined the phrase gobble, gobble forever. I mean, it wasn't even a good phrase to begin with, and they made it worse.
And director of Gigli, Martin Brest, ruined the word breast forever.
I wouldn't go that far.
Now when I see a pair, I think of Martin Brest... And I think of Gigli, and I'm instantly depressed.
Yeah.
A little Mark, little Martin Brest humor for you there.
I guess Ben Affleck is just really into making these holiday pictures. I mean,
but Martin Brest did direct another Thanksgiving set movie, which was Scent of a Woman.
That is a Thanksgiving scent movie? I mean,
I've never actually seen Scent of a Woman, but it's listed under drama here for movies set around Thanksgiving. So at some point, Thanksgiving must happen in Scent of a Woman.
Can I just say, though, like, knowing only that Martin Brest has directed A, Scent of a Woman, and B, Gigli, purveyor of the infamous Gobble Gobble line, I'm, like, grossed out about the women that he must have had sex with in the past, because, like, I don't think they have very good hygiene.
Listen, here's the Martin Brest filmography, the Brestography.
Oh.
1972, Hot Dogs for Gauguin.
Nope, not good. Not good.
Hot Stars going into Beverly Hills Cop, Midnight Run, Son of a Woman, Meet Joe Black, and his most recent film, Gigli. That ended it.
Well, understandably, because, like, no movie with a title that starts with G since Glitter has been as bad as Gigli. Gigli. I can't even say it. It's not even pronounceable.
Gigli. Yeah, that was really one of, like, the... I've still actually never seen Gigli.
Here are the movies that Ben Affleck seems to star in. Thanksgiving-themed movies, meaning Deck the Halls or whichever one he was in with James Gandolfini. And then Thanksgiving-themed movies, namely, well, Gigli, to the extent that that was Thanksgiving-themed. And then movies where he plays a guy who wants to have sex with a lesbian, namely Gigli, but also Chasing Amy.
Man, Jennifer Lopez's butt is so big on the poster for Gigli, which I'm looking at now.
Gross. I remember when my parents were going on a date to see Chasing Amy and I was a kid, which, first of all, I didn't really think that my parents were Kevin Smith fans, but credit to them. Anyway, I kept annoying my mom because I wanted to know what the movie she was seeing was about. And eventually I remember she was like, it's about sex, okay? And I freaked out because I was like seven. I was like, okay. And then later I saw Chasing Amy and I was like, it's not really about sex, but like...
It's about human drama.
That's very true. Nothing that my family ever watches is not about human drama.
Well, I mean, everything's about human drama, come on.
Including Thanksgiving, which is making it all the more surprising that there aren't more movies about it.
As much as I love Thanksgiving, you do similar things on Christmas, but it's the bigger holiday, so that always gets chosen. Like... Christmas, you often usually get together and eat dinner with your family, too.
True.
So, I mean, and Thanksgiving, you usually eat dinner and watch football and fall asleep. Christmas doesn't have the same, like, watching football and falling asleep sort of vibe, you know?
When I was a kid, we only had the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special on videotape. We did not have the Christmas one, even though my parents are, like, obsessed with it. So we would watch the Thanksgiving one, and, like, the Thanksgiving one's not very good. Like... All the Peanuts kids just sort of get together and eat jelly beans, and that's kind of the end of it.
I mean, Thanksgiving's the forgotten holiday. Well, not forgotten in any way, shape, or form, really, but in some ways,
well,
you know.
It's kind of just overlooked unfairly, especially, like, Black Friday that now starts on, effectively, Thursday evening, and, I'm just going to put out a charge to any filmmakers out there who aren't Martin Brest or Rowan Atkinson. You need to make a good movie about Thanksgiving, and it needs to star Ben Affleck. Remember in episode 2, I presented to you a very poorly sound edited montage of all the times that Michelle Branch goes ho whoa in all of her singles. And until recently, I thought that there was no other musical artist that I could do this with because no one else has a penchant for saying ho whoa quite like Michelle Branch. Au contraire, it turns out that Florence of Florence and the Machine is a screamer, for lack of a better word. So without further ado, I present to you my montage of Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine screaming.
Yeah. those Turkish actors.
What if we just started talking about that? Like, Turkey, the overlooked country.
You know, Blair, I've heard Hagia Sophia is beautiful this time of year.
I bet it is.
It's beautiful every time of the year because it's a building, so it doesn't change dependent on time of year.
I actually really want to see the Hagia Sophia.
I do more than you. Boom.
We can just both want to see it, okay? We're both scholars of early Christianity.
Let's fight about it.
I mean, like, you more than me. By the way, the title of this segment is Eli and Blair Attempt to Find Famous Turkeys, but Can Only Find a List of Famous Actors from Turkey.
Okay, well, I mean, I googled list of famous turkeys because we were looking it up to see if we could talk about pop culture turkeys. Mm-hmm. Guess what? There's not a lot of famous turkeys.
No.
And also, in case you're a grammar person out there, the plural of turkeys is R-K-E-Y-S, not K-I-E-S.
Are you serious?
Google said, showing results for a list of famous turkeys, K-E-Y-S, search instead for a list of famous K-I-E-S. So maybe it worked, there just wasn't enough results.
Possibly.
I don't know, this is very confusing. I don't know what's the right way to spell the plural of turkeys.
This segment is actually called Eli and Blair Get Lost on the Internet.
Either way, looking up list of famous turkeys, you don't get much other than list of famous mosques in Turkey, famous Turkish actors, bridges in Turkey, list of famous Turkish bridges.
All right, here are two things I can talk about. First of all, the video where Sarah Palin's getting interviewed in front of a turkey that's just getting slaughtered. It's great. It's a Thanksgiving classic. I think everyone should watch it. Second of all, Turkish Delight from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which no one knows what the fuck it is, except for that it probably comes from Turkey. I think it might be made of marzipan. It looks gross. Like, I don't know which version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is most etched on your childhood memory, but mine was this, like, 3-tape set that we had. I think it must have been British. And the Turkish Delight just looked like little globs of, like, nothing. It looked so foul. And I was like, this is what Judas sells out Jesus Lion for?
Someone is sitting on turkey.com. There's nothing there, but someone bought it and they're not using it.
It's not as good as www.com-www.com/.
Well, no, but turkey. Like, what about turkey.gov? There's no turkey.gov. Turkey.edu.
It's the official homepage of the pardoned turkey.
No, turkey.edu, turkey.org.
I think the turkey pardoning is kind of a weird thing that they do. Because, like, what exactly, is it sort of a joke? Like, ha ha ha, we're still, like, dominions of the animal world. But, this one can live.
Turkey.org is a very strange site.
Is it like whitehouse.com?
It's all in Turkish, but at the front there's a picture of the White House, the Capitol.
That's really weird.
Yeah, the American Capitol. But all of it's in Turkish, so I don't know what the relationship is to the capital. Maybe they're planning an attack. Oh, wait, I can click on the English button and find out what this site is. This is riveting radio drama right here as I wait for the page. The Republic of Turkey Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Oh, and then so it's like the site for the Turkish embassy in Washington. So,
that's really boring.
Yep. So if you ever want to call them, the number is 202-612.
Okay, you know what? All right. You know what? I think this segment is over. Nobody cares about Turkey, and we're done. Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. All right, so it's that time of the year again, one of my favorite times of the year, when we have to start making predictions, all Nate Silver-like, about, you know, what's going to be big in the next month or so. In the next season, really.
In the next season, and what season is it? It's the holiday season, is what they call it.
It is indeed.
And that means made-for-TV Christmas movies.
And there's a lot of good-looking prospects this year. I think this is probably...
There are some hot prospects with 80 potential.
I think they've got, like, a lot of want and, like, really sexy swings and just good-looking stuff. So I think if Eli can get his shit together, I think the best way to dive into this is basically there's three camps when it comes to your made-for-TV Christmas movies. And I would say holiday, but they're all about Christmas.
You got your Hallmark?
You got your Lifetime.
And?
And you've got your ABC Family.
Oh, man. So who, before we look at these, who you liking? Who you liking this
The thing is,
season?
I'm always tempted to like Lifetime because Lifetime is so near and dear to my heart. I think they could put together a really strong, diverse roster that really like hits all the high notes. But lately, it just seems like Hallmark's kind of up in their game, especially now that they launched an
Yeah.
independent movie channel that just shows Hallmark movies all the time.
Yeah, I'm liking Hallmark. I mean, their greeting card empire has always impressed me. And now their made for television movie empire is just equally impressive.
And I think the problem with ABC Family is their inherent age handicap. You know, they have to play to a wider audience, and that kind of narrows their ability to make certain kinds of jokes. And you know, they also have to spend a lot of airtime putting up already made movies like the Frost Miser one that no one actually cares about. It's like you're still trotting out that old guy, and he really just he can't swing.
Yeah, and you're like, you're really gonna play Jack Frost starring Bruce Willis? Like, I bet they're playing that.
They're not gonna make it.
Remember,
So,
yeah, Bruce Willis turned into a snowman. How sad.
also, in terms of just celebrity star power, it seems like Lifetime is always able to draw more of them. I'm gonna dive in and point out some top billed names. So, in The Christmas Consultant, which will premiere on December 2nd, everyone should tune in.
Oh,
David
man.
Hasselhoff stars as an over-the-top male Christmas consultant who helps get a workaholic couple with four quirky kids through the holidays.
Is that a real thing? Christmas consultants?
I don't think so. I think only in the world where David Hasselhoff is an over-the-top male anything is there such a thing as a Christmas consultant.
In the real world, David Hasselhoff is an over-the-top male sex symbol.
I think they probably made that to cater to their German audience because nobody who lives in the United States cares about David Hasselhoff any longer.
Ah, the 25 days of Christkindl, of Christmas. This is three episodes in a row with bad German accents. Mark it down.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
So another big name from the Lifetime camp is Ralph Macchio. Is that how you say that?
Macchio, the
Macchio?
karate kid.
Oh, excellent. Well, he's starring as a former dance champion who helps his once estranged son prepare for an annual ballroom dance contest in Holiday Spin.
Now, why didn't they just do the obvious thing and make him a former karate champion around the holidays?
Because I don't think a movie about karate would make sense to be called Holiday Spin.
Could be called Holiday Kick.
So then the only other famous person, and she's not even billed at like you don't see her name, but I see her face in the thumbnail and I recognize her. Hayley Duff, older sister of Hillary, who also has dropped off the face of the planet, stars in All About Christmas Eve. Guess what? It's about a girl named Eve.
I love the title.
Yeah, and
I'm a big fan
she
of the
the plot
title.
of this movie is basically Eve must decide whether to work a huge company event or to risk her career to go on a romantic vacation with her boyfriend Darren.
You know what I think she's gonna choose? The D-man. She's gonna choose the D-man.
No one ever chooses someone named Darren. Even Samantha in Bewitched was like, "Yo, fuck Darren."
Yeah, I can't think of many successful Darrens.
So, do you have any favorites in the Lifetime camp?
Oh man, the Christmas consultant picture is amazing,
Yeah,
the thumbnail.
it's just David Hasselhoff doing this creepy frozen grin and wearing a top hat, which is pretty excellent.
Love at the Christmas table sounds all right.
Yeah, I also like Holly's Holiday because the first line of the blurb is when an icicle incident knocks advertising executive Holly out.
I also like this movie that clearly has the same plot as Tim Allen's The Santa Claus. It's called The Real Saint Nick. Kate is a nurse at St. John's Hospital. A couple of days before Christmas, a cute young man in a Santa costume is brought into her ward. It really doesn't have the same plot, but anyway, a cute young man in a Santa costume is brought into her ward unconscious. When he wakes up, he is convinced that he is Santa Claus and explains that he fell off his sleigh during a routine test run before Christmas. At first, he is disregarded as crazy and placed in the psychiatric wing. However, everyone in the ward, patients and staff included, cannot help but feel the warmth of his Christmas spirit. As the next couple of days pass, Kate, normally a Christmas Grinch, begins to fall for the John Doe. How could she let herself fall for a patient, especially a man in the psychiatric ward?
All right, now if I may use this expression as it relates to Christmas movies, which I hate myself for, but they're really trotting out that old chestnut.
Yeah, can't we just roast that one on an open fire and be done with it?
But seriously, like, I think a lot of these Lifetime movies, and this is a weakness of their overall approach, is they tend to be about workaholic women who don't have time for love, and then Christmas finds a way into their hearts. The end of Holly's Holiday is after the icicle incident, which I thought was enough. Any movie that starts with an icicle incident is going to sell to me in the first sentence. But it ends with her once fake window man-ikin becomes the man of her dreams, minus his plastic personality. So, like, that's literally about a woman who gets knocked out with an icicle and falls in love with a mannequin.
All right, I'm really upset about one title for one of these Lifetime original Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
Get, like, the title of this is Marry In-Laws.
Yeah.
Okay, when Alex says yes to her boyfriend's marriage proposal, she has no idea that her future in-laws are none other than Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. Why isn't it called In-Claws?
Oh, that's so good!
Marry In-Laws isn't a good pun because in-laws doesn't sound like Christmas.
It doesn't.
In-Claws is good because, like, it's like...
It's, you know, that's much like, better.
I don't know why they're not taking advantage of In-Claws.
Well, but in conclusion, I think that we can say that maybe Lifetime is not appearing on further analysis as strong as we once thought. So maybe it's time for Hallmark to take the torch.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. Let's take a look at Walmart.
Walmart
hasn't gotten into original movies
now,
yet.
Now, I would like to point out, they do stick to a traditional strategy that tends to work well for Christmas movies, which is they have a movie about a career woman who doesn't have time for love, and then Christmas finds its way into her heart, and her name is, of course, something Christmas-themed. So this one is called It's Christmas, Carol. And Carol Huffman is one of Chicago's most successful book publishers. Because, you know, Chicago is a publishing industry center.
They're always publishers.
There's no publishing in Chicago. Anyway, she's a ruthless businesswoman. Her staff hates her. Fred, Carson Kressley, is secretly organizing a revolt. Okay, wait. This is great. Because Carson Kressley is an awesome personality. Holy shit! Eve Miller is played by Carrie Fisher. So this movie's coming out strong. It's Christmas Carol.
Princess Friggin' Leia.
It's Christmas Carol actually premiered Sunday, November 18th. So we've already missed it. Hallmark
I like this one.
Hallmark's preseason is like right on top of it.
Oh yeah, like premiering November 24th, Naughty or Nice. And the main character in this one, after she is suddenly fired from her job, no joke, Chrissy Kringle. Is in no mood for all the misdirected Santa mail she received to her home on Candy Cane Lane.
Okay, for those of you playing along at home, Chrissy Kringle is played by moderately famous Hillary Burton of One Tree Hill fame.
I love that, like, her life sucks that she just gets mail because she's Chris Kringle and lives on Candy Cane Lane.
Wait a minute, her mother is also named Carol. How many fucking Carols are there?
I mean, a million of this. But I like that her father's name is just Walter Kringle. Carol Kringle, Chrissy Kringle, and Walter Kringle.
Carol Kringle is played by Meredith Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Meredith Baxter Bernie? Because if so, that would be an ultimate steal for Team Hallmark. Because even Jim Gaffigan knows that Meredith Baxter Bernie is in every Lifetime movie ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then, Hitch for the Holiday sounds great. When commitment phobe Rob Marino, played by none other than Joey Lawrence, breaks up with his girlfriend before Thanksgiving, he is criticized by his big Italian family about his inability to keep a relationship through the holidays.
I like
that his plan is that this always happens around the holidays. But then he starts dating a Jew.
Oh no! Okay, I'm gonna give them points for this.
Christmas coming and Hanukkah around the corner, they double their efforts to keep their charade going, only to discover their fake feelings may be a little too real.
Wah, wah.
Oh man, that's amazing.
So I think those both sound pretty good, but the rest of these ones, like A Bride for Christmas, after Jesse Patterson calls off her third engagement at the altar, okay, that's, boring, someone's trying to, like, that basically is just How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but rewritten around Christmas week. The Christmas Heart, it's like the tight-knit neighbors on Arthur Avenue have probably lit Christmas luminaries for 40 years, whatever, no one cares.
All I know is I do kind of want to see Help for the Holidays. Because I like the idea of Santa's elf Christine played by Summer Glau, because I'd like to see Summer Glau dressed as like an elf. I don't know.
You and all the creepy people on the internet.
In my mind, that seems okay.
Baby's First Christmas. That sounds
It sounds boring. It sounds like everybody's first Christmas.
I take back what I said about the Christmas heart, because this is actually about a literal heart. It's about a guy who needs a heart transplant.
And we can't forget about Love at the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Of course not. That's, like, the classic.
Chicago native Emily Jones, played by Autumn Reeser. No fucking clue who that is.
Why is everyone in Chicago?
Because it's cheaper to film there. And has dedicated her career to coordinating its beloved Thanksgiving Day Parade every year. Chicago does not have a beloved Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, no, I think they're thinking of the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
This year, Emily is hoping for a memorable holiday and anticipating a long-awaited proposal from her long-distance boyfriend, Brian.
Oh, Brian.
But then the parade director hires a wealthy development consultant, Henry Williams, to analyze the finances of the parade and increase profits. They probably fall in love as they work together, and there's setbacks and drama and pathos.
It's just, it's career women over and over again. So I'm seeing some strong prospects. It's Christmas Carol, sounds great. I think I could watch Hitched for the Holidays, and Naughty or Nice with Chrissy Kringle definitely sounds good. I'm less into A Bride for Christmas and The Christmas Heart, honestly. I think those are just, like, the heart one, if you'll excuse the expression, is just pulling at the heartstrings a little too tight. And A Bride for Christmas, it's like, that's really convoluted. Like, even for a made-for-TV Christmas movie, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I will say, though, that they're definitely pulling the Glee card, because there's this one called Christmas Song, which premiered over 3 weeks ago on November 3rd, which is about Carter Cresswell Academy, which is a merger of two schools, and basically there's two music teachers that are competing for a single music department position by entering dueling musical acts in a televised Christmas song competition. Because that's how private schools hire teachers.
Oh, yeah, oh, totally. That's just by the books.
So I'm gonna mark down the Hallmark Channel roster for pandering to Glee fans, because that looks shitty and terrible. So ABC Family, are they gonna be able to pull a surprise upset? I'm gonna Doubt go it. With probably not, because their Christmas lineup tends to be just like vaguely related Christmas movies. Like, for example, Despicable Me, WALL-E, nothing to do with Christmas, okay? Nanny McPhee and Nanny McPhee Returns, also not Christmas movies.
I didn't even know they made a sequel to Nanny McPhee.
So on November 25th, which was a couple... Wait, no, it's coming up still. They're premiering Home Alone: The Holiday Heist.
Huh, is that a new made-for-TV...
It would seem so. And it's like, how do I feel about this? Like, are they successfully going to... It's like, you know, Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. Or was Ken Griffey the original one, a baseball player? Maybe I'm thinking of Cal Ripken.
I mean, there's Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr., his son.
But were they both baseball players?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the analogy I'm making here. Because I want this to be about baseball.
Okay.
I don't know if Home Alone the Holiday Heist is necessary. Like, Home Alone is already a Christmas movie, you know?
Yeah. They could have just played Home Alone. They could have just played Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Maybe not Home Alone 3. I don't know. Home Alone 3 wasn't even really a 3. It was more of a reboot anyway.
Yeah. So I don't think this needs rebooting. They also are doing a musical called The Mistletoes. So this is definitely a theme with the roster building, is this sort of musical. I bet they're going to be just like poppy a cappella versions of Christmas carols, and it's going to make me want to tear my ears off. Anyway, that one's premiering on December 9th, so that's like way behind the Hallmark Channel. They got beaten to the punch, and how?
Yeah, that's huge. And then huge for the Hallmark Channel.
Pretty much the rest of their lineup is just movies that other people made. They used to do, I think, more original movies than they did this year.
Yeah, I think their original movie budget was like cut or something, because they're mostly just playing other movies. They're repackaging things.
Yeah, and they're showing the Santa Claus like once a week, every week in December. And it's like, the Santa Claus, that movie I have problems with, because that misinformed a generation of children about how Santa Claus is spelled. Everyone puts a fucking E on the end of it, and there's no E.
Well, that's because, like... the pun was maybe a little too clever for the target audience.
It was. It just sort of, you look at it and you're like, oh, they spelled that wrong.
And I think it wasn't only too clever for a lot of the target audience. I think it was also a touch too clever for a lot of the parents.
Probably.
That were taking their kids to see it. Just because, like, Claus and Claus sound the same. So the pun isn't really, when you say it, it doesn't, you know.
Exactly.
Unless you really make a point of going, emphasizing, like, the Santa Claus,
right?
Which no one did, you
this
know?
Could be why Lifetime chose not to call it the In Clause, because maybe it would just be lost on people. Like, maybe people are not that smart.
I'm going to just start pronouncing it Klaus.
Klaus.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. That sounds like a bad German
Santa
accent.
Klaus. Christ Grindel and Santa Claus are the same person.
Anyway, closing remarks. I'm still tempted to say that Lifetime is going to win out for me. Like, I think they have, despite the fact that Carrie Fisher is on the Hallmark team, I want to see David Hasselhoff as an over-the-top male Christmas consultant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. I'm sad I don't have cable, so when I go home for the holidays, I'm hoping these are, like, on demand and stuff, so right. I can just plow through them, you know? Just drink and watch these, and maybe eat some wings, you know, just really enjoy myself. Have a nice day.
Your traditional Christmas wings.
Yeah, Christmas wings.
So I think for my
the wings of turtle doves.
My season preview, I'm gonna go ahead and say that Lifetime's probably won. If I were building a fantasy roster of Christmas movies, I would probably pick largely from their network.
I think I'd be picking largely from Hallmark here.
All right. So, well,
we're at odds.
We'll just have to watch them all and see. But
and report back in great detail.
Yes. And until next Christmas, we'll be keeping you updated on the want of all these Christmas movies. Green is in the mistletoe and red is in the holly. Silver in the stars above that shine on everybody. Gold is in the candlelight and crimson in the embers. White is in the winter night that everyone remembers. Nothing is more atrocious to the artistry of an original work of art than a remake.
These days, Hollywood's so unoriginal.
They keep remaking things that don't need to be remade. And I think this holiday season, no example is worse than something that Eli pointed out to me the other day.
For those of you from the Philadelphia area or the state of Pennsylvania in general, since 1992, since Blair and I were but three-year-olds, but young children, they've been airing the same Christmas commercial where they just sing a 12 Days of Christmas version of 12 Days of Christmas about the Pennsylvania lottery and name various lottery cards you can buy.
So I think what we need to do is play a clip from the original ad, because there's no better way to explain it than to watch it.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big 4 spree, daily numbers, 2 mega millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
A classic. And now, for comparison's sake, here is the new commercial.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big 4 spree, daily numbers, 2 mega millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millions.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
All right, I have so many things to say about this remake, which is literally a shot-for-shot remake.
If you watch the video, which I highly suggest you go online and do, I posted the link on the Pathetic Facebook page a couple of days ago. It's identical. I mean, down to the fact that the woman who sings 5 Cash Fives is an attractive Asian woman in a blue hoodie.
Yeah, they're all wearing the same clothes and everything. And what's so upsetting is that, like, it's just the same thing, but all they did was... it's shot for shot. I'd be less upset if it weren't shot for shot. I'm actually not that upset. It's just the fact that the original had been airing from 1992 to 2011. How many commercials aired for 19 total years? Barely changed, you know?
I also feel like it's kind of a jerk move to be like, well, it's almost 20 years, but we're going to yank you off the air just before you make it. Like, that's not fair. They should get a nice round number.
For exactly. Joe's I mean, sake. The guy who said happy holidays, Rita, probably dead. Joe. Yeah, he's probably dead by this point. In 2006, he wasn't, apparently. But I haven't heard any updates since
but
then.
But that was 6 years ago, so...
Yeah. old people die fast. You know, 6 years is a long time.
Although lottery tickets do benefit older Pennsylvanians.
That is true.
Maybe Joe is one of them. I never really understood how that worked, despite being a nominal part of the Pennsylvania infrastructure at one point during my life. Like, how do they get the revenue from lottery tickets?
No, totally.
I've never actually bought a lottery ticket either. Like, I've seen this commercial since the tender age of 3, and never have I been tempted to purchase a lottery ticket for myself or for my friends as a gift.
Yeah, I can't say it really had an effect on me, but maybe this Christmas, now that I'm thinking about it. But see, the thing is, this is just like the commercial we discussed in a prior episode that aired every single summer for like 6 years, the Sears air conditioning commercial.
Right, like the Sears air conditioning commercial comes on to let you know that it's summer, and Thanksgiving rolls around, and people just bulldoze past that and start playing this Christmas commercial, and that's how you know.
Yeah, at least in Pennsylvania growing up, that this was just like, and now, I mean, 19 years. So I actually did some research into the longest running commercials of all time.
Yeah.
I was like, 19 years to air one commercial is a pretty long time. And it is a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. But there are a few commercials that have aired longer than 19 years. There are some commercials that have aired over 40 years.
For example?
The, what's the tire company called?
Meineke?
It's a discount tire company. Their thank you commercial, which is about returning their tires, where like a little old woman throws a tire through their window to return it.
I have not seen that commercial.
It's been airing since the early 1970s and still airs even today.
Jesus.
So that's over 40 years that commercial's been airing.
Okay.
And the other oldest commercial that still runs today is the original like Tootsie Pop cartoon commercials with like the owl and like, how many looks does it take to get, like that really old school like animation. They still air it just the same as they did in, you know, the 70s.
Yeah, like 1986.
I actually kind of want to, you know, like, that's kind of cool of whoever makes Tootsie Roll Pop, is that they didn't update it in like 3D, like, oh, many looks to, and like do a fancy crazy version rather than just like a cheaply animated 2D version.
I pretty much hate those commercials though, because I hate the way the kid looks. Like, the way you see him is like in profile and he has this weird like tonsured hair
and
this giant nose, and like his butt kind of sticks out, and the owl is like, for some reason the kid has to be seen in profile but the owl is seen full on. It's very weird. I even as a kid,
it was the 70s, they didn't know how to draw in perspective yet in the 1970s.
It was before they realized where the vanishing point was.
Yeah, that you had to wait until the 80s with like Da Vinci and stuff until they really figured that out.
Da Vinci made many a Tootsie Pop commercial that were scrapped, unfortunately. No, but seriously, like, even as a kid, I would watch them, and I'm like, this feels old, and I don't like it.
Yeah, when you're a kid, commercials that seem old actually just scare you for no receivable reason.
I think it's because, like, you're, as a child of the 90s, you're conditioned to see, like, things flashing around and changing. Like, when my mom was working in advertising, she said you had to make a jump cut every 3 seconds, or else people would get bored. And you watch those Tootsie Pop commercials, and it's like, it's literally the same shot the whole time.
And the original one, since it's from the 70s, is like, the only way it's been changed in the last 40 years is that they've cut it down somewhere. Because the original one's like 2 minutes long with him going to like every, like back in the day, your commercial, you could have a commercial that was just like 2 to 3 minutes.
Can I also say that Tootsie Pops are disgusting? No one, like, no one buys lottery tickets for Christmas presents, and no one likes Tootsie Pops. Like,
I really like Tootsie Pops.
The fuck is wrong with you? The candy part is okay, but Tootsie Rolls are foul.
Well, I don't know. It's like, they don't really taste like Tootsie Rolls when they're in the pop.
Well, right, but you eventually wear away the pop part of it after, you know, X number of licks, and then you have this, like, wad of chocolate-flavored, like, bolus on a stick.
It's kind of good, though.
No, it's not good.
I like it. I like the orange ones and the chocolate ones.
Anyway, has there been a lot of outrage over this new lottery ad? Because I feel like, I mean, if they remade, for example, the Sears air conditioner commercial, people would freak out because people know that commercial. It's just, it's like, it's a cultural touchstone.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure. People are probably watching it in Philadelphia and going, something seems off about this commercial this year. Because it's not so different where, like, you're like, this must be a remake. The guy's voice just sounds different. You're like, that doesn't sound like the Happy Holidays Rita I'm used to hearing.
Exactly. You know? Like, the picture is crisper, and it's obviously shot in HD or something.
Yeah, I think they remade it just so that they could air it in HD. That's what one of the YouTube comments says, because the other one, they would have to go back to, like, a square box because they couldn't play it, like, an HD and wide screen, you know? They'd have to put black bars on the side.
Maybe some things don't need to be seen in HD. Like, is there any reason that Rita and her husband working at the hot chocolate cart need to be in sharp focus when Joe hands them their lottery tickets?
You know, no. You know, I don't think so.
I actually think that the fuzziness of the non-HD resolution gives it a beautiful old-timey feel, but not in a creepy way like the Tootsie Roll commercials, just in a way that makes you feel like you're coming home. It's like how every Christmas, you know, you gather around the TV and you watch one of your traditional Christmas movies, be it Deck the Halls with James Gandolfini, or Christmas with the Cranks with Jamie Lee Curtis, or George C. Scott's A Christmas Carol, which are always recorded on, like, terrible lo-fi videotapes that you taped off of PBS when they were on, like, 12 years ago. So I really think that, like, bad video quality is a hallmark, no pun intended, of Christmas movies.
Oh, no, totally. And there's also just, to name another holiday Christmas commercial, is the Hershey Kisses one where it's playing, like, with the bells, like, and even that has an old-timey fuzziness, and it's still playing. That's probably been airing more than 20 years, too.
And it looks old-timey because I think it was, like, right at the advent, no pun intended, of computer animation. So, like, it all looks kind of weird and blocky.
Yeah, I think it's even way, it might even be before the advent. It might be the prevent.
If that's an expression.
Yeah, well, I bet, like,
I wish I could have prevented them from remaking that commercial.
Oh, wait, that makes sense.
It does.
Advent and prevent are opposites. Advent sort means of. To let something happen.
Not exactly.
I advented him to go to the store.
No, it comes from advenio, which in Latin means to arrive. So it's just the nominalization of that. It means like an arrival.
Yeah, no, that makes more sense.
Sorry, I have a lot of education in me, so I need to show people at every available opportunity.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
It kind of makes me want to consider the Pennsylvania lottery.
It benefits older Pennsylvanians.
When I say consider, I don't mean that I'm actually going to buy a lottery ticket. I just think, like, I'm thinking about it. Like, I have a secret theory that they didn't need to remake the commercial. There was nothing wrong with it. They just wanted to get the lottery back into the pop culture conversation. So, because you know what we've just done? We've just spent 10 minutes talking about the lottery. Would we ever have talked about the lottery if we had not seen a remake of this commercial? Probably not.
No, definitely not. Like, now I'm even thinking of buying a lottery ticket. Like, tonight, like, I'll go to one of the machines and buy one. In California.
God damn it, the Pennsylvania Lottery. We have just given you free advertising.
Yeah.
Look what you've done. Yeah. Can't you? This is like, it's like my theory about the Sears air conditioning commercial. They were airing it on Nickelodeon so that when our generation grows up and needs central air, we will think only of Sears because it's like impressed upon our gray matter.
They were totally going for the long con. Totally. Someone at Sears is going to get a promotion soon once we're a few years older.
Yeah.
And finally buying those air conditioners.
They didn't really foresee the housing crisis, so none of us are going to be homeowners, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll buy a I need to go to Sears and get a new window unit. It is just too hot.
You know, it will work in the favor of the lottery ticket people, though, because that's becoming more and more of a sound investment strategy compared to anything else you can do.
Hey, everyone saw, when I do walk past those machines where you can buy lottery tickets, I always think about it briefly. I always go, and then I always go, nah, but most likely I'm just going to be spending $5 and getting nothing in return, which is
exactly
a pretty shitty deal.
If I'm going to spend money at a state-owned institution, it's going to be the liquor store.
I play the lottery every day. You know why? Because life's a lottery. You take chances, you do things, you take risks. That was my senior quote in my yearbook, live life like the lottery.
That's stupid. You know what's funny, though, is that in Pennsylvania, the lottery and the liquor store are both owned by the state. And in Chicago, there was literally a lottery ticket store next to the liquor store, which were both privately owned. Although the lottery ticket store was nominally the Video Connection. But all they had there was like three shelves of faded VHSs and a poster for one of the Twilight movies. But really, it existed to sell lottery tickets.
Yeah, I think it's apparently illegal to have a thing that just sells lottery tickets. So they had to like put up a front of videos. I reviewed that place on Yelp and I gave it 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I said it's a great place to buy VHSs and that I bought a VHS of Dunstan Checks in there.
Nice.
Not true. They deleted my review. So now there's no reviews of the Video Connection on Yelp.
How do they expect to get people who want to rent VHS tapes into the Video Connection?
I gave it 5 stars. Like, why would they delete it?
Especially now that the Christmas season is coming up and people are going to start wanting to watch stuff on VHS.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that in all my time living, like, right next to that place, that I never walked in and tried to rent a video.
Well, it's like how we've lived in Pennsylvania, low these 19 years, more or less, of this commercial, and we've never bought a lottery ticket. Although, to be fair, you have to be 18, right? So...
yeah, so only a certain portion of our lives could we have bought them.
Yeah, there was like a year-long window before we went to college when we could have done it.
So the time I lived in Pennsylvania and could buy lottery tickets was about a 23rd of my life.
Do you think it would be funny if you made an ironic Christmas present, like, to your actual friends, if you gave them a lottery ticket and you were like, "Happy holidays, Rita"? Like, would people get that?
Maybe. People I admire. The only thing is, lottery tickets are a dangerous gift to buy.
Why?
And they're a dangerous gift to receive.
Stop saying dangerous.
Very dangerous. Because I've seen movies, I've seen television shows.
Oh, yeah.
Man, if you win the lottery on a gifted ticket, that opens up a whole can of worms that will destroy your friendship in the end.
That sounds like the beginning of a sitcom episode that ends with people painting a line down the middle of a bedroom. Like,
but then they find out at the end that they read the numbers wrong and didn't actually win the lottery.
But it turns out that they broke the Guinness Book of World Records record for most attempts trying to break a record.
This is a great sitcom episode. You know, the friend buys the lottery ticket, and it's not a scratch-off. It's like a Powerball ticket with numbers.
How do those work?
The ones where you just, like, pick five numbers.
Okay.
Or something. Like, and they're, like, the big winnings where you win, like, a gazillion dollars for winning.
Uh-huh.
For getting all the numbers. Someone gives them out as gifts, and he thinks some of the people he gives it to is, like, won. It seems that person won.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's jealous that he bought the ticket, and he's a rude friend, so he's like, you know, you gotta give me some of that money. And then, you know, it opens up this whole dramatic can of worms. At the end, he goes, wait, the last number was 26. Not 27. We didn't win. And then their friendship is reconciled.
Wait a minute. This is what happened, is that the original Joe gave a ticket to Rita. She then won. And he was so mad that he refused to let that commercial be aired anymore because it reminded him too much of his friend's meretricity.
It took him 19 years to get it off the air.
Yeah. He wasn't very aware of how television
Dick
worked.
Seltzer, local Pennsylvania actor who also appeared in movies such as For Richer or Poorer with Tim Allen and Kirstie Alley as pretending to be Amish.
Oh.
Remember that movie?
No. Wait, so they were in a movie where they pretended to be Amish?
Well, they weren't Amish in the movie, but they, for some reason, were on the run or something where they ended up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Amish country, and they had to pretend to be the Amish relatives that were visiting the Amish people. But eventually the Amish people learned they weren't actually Amish.
That sounds like a great Pennsylvanian movie. Like,
yeah, apparently the guy who played Joe was an extra in it.
I would love to see that movie, because right now the only movie that I like about the Amish is Witness, and that movie is fucking intense. Like, I still can't go to the bathrooms at 30th Street Station without feeling nervous.
That's such a very specific fear.
And you know, okay, two facts about Witness. Three facts about Witness. First of all, Viggo Mortensen is in it, which I didn't realize until I saw it as an adult. Second of all, we watched part of it in my first grade class. But just the barn raising scene, because we were learning about the Amish. And third of all, my grandfather is thanked in the credits, and he was on set when they were filming the Death by Silo scene.
Wow.
Yeah, so put that in your Guinness Book of World Records.
Pipe and smoke it.
Or that.
But yeah, so basically I will never buy lottery tickets as a gift in the fear that the person I buy it for will win the lottery, and then I'll be intensely jealous that the $5 I spent turned into $1 million for them.
I will never buy a lottery ticket because I hate these ads and the groundhog creeps me the fuck out.
If you change your mind, take a chance, I'm the first in line. Take a chance, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. It's gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone.
Have you heard about Guy Fieri's restaurant in Times Square?
Oh, yeah. People are flipping shit.
Did you read the New York Times review of it?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was so good.
It was bad, but at the same time, I was like, this is kind of not fair. Like, Sam Sifton is not going to go to Guy Fieri's restaurant and be like, well, this was surprisingly good. Like,
oh, yeah. It's still funny, though.
The well is literally poisoned.
I kind of want to go. If we go to New York, can we go to Guy Fieri's?
No, absolutely. I fucking refuse. Because there's too many other places that I want to eat while I'm in New York.
I think that Guy Fieri should have a calendar, a 12-month Guy Fieri calendar.
Why?
Of him in different poses.
Why?
It's the weirdest calendar to own. A Guy Fieri calendar. Oh my god, Guy Fieri 12-month calendar. Or a 365-day one where you just peel it off and it's Guy Fieri eating another something from a diner, a drive-in, or a dive. And on the bat, you have to guess when it shows you somewhere, and on the back of the thing, it tells you whether the place is a diner, a drive-in, or a dive. But it's usually pretty easy to tell if it's a drive-in because you can see a car that they drove in with. So really, it's basically between choosing diners and dives. But the thing with diners and dives is sometimes there's a very fine line between diners and dives, because a lot of diners are dives, but a lot of dives are also diners.
This has been an episode of Pathetic. We're very glad you listened to all of that.
Yeah, if you made it to the end, then that, you got the cherry on top of the ice cream.
Which is, unsurprisingly, about Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri.
Anyways, you can find us on the internet, on Twitter, Pathetic Pod with an I, Facebook, which is just facebook.com/pathetic, and also our website, which is pathetic.com, where you can browse our vast back catalog of 14 other episodes.
Wow, that's a lot. I gave up the internet for the holidays.
Well, that's unfortunate because we're doing this over Skype. Anyway, have a great week. Gather together with your loved ones, and we'll see you after Thanksgiving.
Oh, and guys, I just got one last thing to say.
Yeah?
Thanks.
That Italian guy over there, the one with the polyester pinstriped suit, the one with the gray hair and mustache, must be thinking really loud thoughts, because he's nodding and squinting and nodding and squinting and putting down his metal cane like he